control. What? Who? When? Why? Where? How? This recording will explore both the divine and the human viewpoint of these topics that relate to control. Since the prayer treatments are entirely extemporaneous, and that is because when a thought occurs that something should be explored and relating it to the system of divine metaphysics, the thoughts flow independently of human interjection. Human input is basically absent from these prayer treatments. Therefore, they may not be in particular order of how it is thought that maybe the topics should be reviewed, because that is strictly from a human standpoint, whereas the source, if the thought is open to the divine, God may have a different plan, and probably does, because my plan is worthless compared to the divine. These are only some initial thoughts that come that appear to be relating to the topic. If one studies a professional resource or several of them on how to properly read something, the top professionals have pointed out the value of reviewing the table of contents and then reading the first and the last paragraph of any chapter. The first paragraph normally gives an outline of what's going to be covered in the chapter, and the last paragraph typically is a summary. And of course, in between are all the details to lay the groundwork for appreciating what the summary is. It is the view of the one making this recording that one of the most important things one can do when reading the textbook of Science and Health, which of course is the foundation of Christian Science, that one should read the theme of the chapter as provided by a very inspired and advanced Christian Science student, John L. Morgan, in his book entitled Dissolving Barriers. But before one even does that, it is highly recommended that one read the introductory quotes to the entire textbook, which is on a page prior to the preface, and of course prior to the table of contents. And then before one reads anything from any chapter, to review the introductory quotes at the beginning of the chapter. As has been stated by some wise advanced students of reading, a poet delivers a message that is far deeper than what just the words appear to be providing. And a really spiritually advanced poet, as was Mary Baker Eddy, gives one a very important outline of the theme of the specific chapter. With reference to what was just stated, what is at the beginning of the textbook, which is to give us an introduction and really the outline in a few words of the entire textbook? Well, the first quote is from John, and it states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is from Shakespeare, and it states, Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third one is from Mary Baker Eddy, one of the greatest writers and poets of all time, if not the greatest. And her contribution is as follows. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy I behest, thou here and everywhere. It is highly recommended that before anyone reads anything out of the textbook, that they read or repeat or contemplate these three quotes, for they tell the whole story of what's in the textbook. Number one, seek the truth. Understand it. Get a little better understanding today than you did yesterday. And then you will be made free. Free from what? Free from the belief that life, truth, and intelligence isn't matter. And realizing that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. Because God is all in all. The second one. What are we going to put into our thought? Because our thought is going to be translated to our experience. Evil thoughts are going to be failure. Beautiful thoughts, angel messages from God, are going to bring success in whatever we do, as long as it is wholesome. And what does she say about number three? She says, if we do one and two, number three is going to be a success. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer. She's thanking God. And I am blessed. This is thy high behest. So it's God's plan for us to be blessed. But we have to do one and two. We have to seek the truth, and we have to do it by putting good thoughts into consciousness. Then the blessing is going to come. It says thou here and everywhere. So it's going to be an omnipresent blessing. Think something along these lines or anything that comes to you under spiritual inspiration before you start reading out of the textbook. And you will be blessed. The formula is right here. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy gives us one of the most important sentences in the entire textbook on page 146, beginning line 31. It states as follows. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, what is disease? Anything ungodlike. Dis-ease. Anything inharmonious. Anything that is out of balance. Right here is the key to all of Christian Science. It tells us that there's a system, and if you follow the system, anyone can experience the healing. How many Christian Scientists, or how many people that have read Science and Health, which is millions upon millions, for it has been out there since 1875, the first edition, and the final edition has been out since 1910. That's 114 years. How many have paid any attention to that sentence, or that statement, more than one sentence? Very few. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute specializes in teaching the system. Mary Baker Eddy told Laura Sargent, she says, there it is. I've hidden it and hidden it and hidden it. If I hide it anymore, no one will ever find it. It's like the Bible. The Bible has so many messages that are hidden. Generally, when someone reads the Bible, they read it literally. They don't realize the spiritual value of what is hidden. And they cannot until they cultivate a spiritual atmosphere around their attitude when they read the Bible. Jesus gave us 41 parables. His disciples had to ask him, what do you mean by this, Master? If everything was straightforward and outlined where anyone could read it, the books would have all been destroyed. The Bible would never, never have survived the time that it has survived. Jesus was reading the scriptures. It wasn't what we read, because it did not include the New Testament. But he quoted from the scriptures from the beginning of his ministry, when he was tempted by the devil. He quoted the scriptures as the answers to each of the three temptations. So it's older than the beginning of Christianity, where we place it year zero. Do we want to be successful in our healing practice? Do we want to be consistently successful? Then we must pay attention to what Mary Baker Eddy tells us. Another very great resource is Frederick L. Rawson. He gave us a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. It's only, I don't know, a little over 200 pages, I think. In it, he has a section called Applied Treatment. And he has listed 1,315 ailments. And with each ailment, he gives you very quickly what the ailment is, no great detail. But he tells you the exact counterfact to that ailment so that you know what you should be putting into your consciousness in order to heal the problem. And we must keep in mind that many times the evil is a decoy and not really addressing the problem. By that, what I mean is, suppose you're going to a very important meeting and you're taking transportation, and something happens to the transportation. Maybe you're in a car and it's a traffic jam. Maybe there's an accident. Maybe you are in an accident. These could all be decoys to prevent you from getting to that important meeting where there will be important decisions made. So the problem may not be with the car. The problem is evil creating a decoy to prevent you from being involved in the meeting. You may be conducting the meeting. These are the things we need to be thinking about every time we open the textbook. It's just a very short summary of what the divine system entails. Number one, Mary Baker Eddy gives a definition of God on page 465, and she also provides another one in the glossary, I believe it's 587. And of course, she discusses what God is throughout the entire textbook. But on page 465, which is the recapitulation, which is a summary of chapters 1 to 13, and the first 14 chapters are considered science and health, and 15 through 18 are considered the key to the scriptures. So the definition on page 465 states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The first four are considered operators, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, because they represent the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. Just like mathematics has the four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And math has 10 digits of 0 through 9. The seven terms for God, to repeat, as was just stated, is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Just like mathematics has the 0 through 9, these are the elements for the system of divine metaphysics. Now, just like you can utilize a 0 and a 1 together, or a 7 and a 6, or 5 and 7 million. Well, in the system of divine metaphysics, one also can utilize the qualities of mind with the qualities of spirit, or the qualities of any other one of the terms, or all of them together. As a matter of fact, the complete fulfillment only comes if we do combine all of the terms with all of the other terms. Because each one has their own uniqueness, even though they also blend together. In fact, you really can't get the complete view of any one without also considering the other six. For example, one of the qualities of mind is intelligence. Can you think about what real substance is, which is spirit, unless you look at it as a quality of intelligence? You must be intelligent in the way you're even thinking about substance. You have to be wise in the way you're thinking about substance, about life. Do you want to live? Try to live the qualities of God without being intelligent about it? How about love? Can you think of love as being sensual? Or do you need soul, which is the spiritual senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling? Do you want that to have an input when you're thinking about, is this really love? Or is it infatuation? Is it at the high level of love, which is divine, or is it a sensual, worthless level, one that comes and goes and has no perpetuity, has no spiritual qualities about it? So every synonymous term has to be combined with every other synonymous term, no matter how we are viewing it. So spirit is substance. It's flawless, transparent, and reflective. We can only think of it as being that way. And there's many other terms that describe everything that's going to be said in this recording. In fact, the whole dictionary, the entire English vocabulary, can be ascribed either to one of these terms that we're talking about, or it needs to be flipped to realize that it is the reverse. It is evil trying to mock truth. Soul, as already mentioned, is spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Principle is system and structure, which means it has to be balanced and it has to be harmonious. Life is living the qualities of God. It's living all the qualities of God. Truth is staying on the right path. Are we on the path of spirit? Are we viewing things from a spiritual standpoint? We're not going to be able to see the truth if we're not. If we're looking at it from a material sense standpoint, which is a mirage, a fake, a fantasy, then we definitely are going to get off of the path of truth. There's many roads that lead to God, but there are just as many roads that are diversions, that are attempts of evil or the belief in evil of getting us off track. And what is love? Well, love is really like a gardener that nurtures his plants. He wants to have the right soil for the plant. He wants to give it the right amount of water. He wants to make sure he trims it, prunes off anything that needs to be pruned off of it. He cares for it like a mother. He's mothering it. Well, that's what love is. Love is mothering. Life is considered fathering. It's the fatherhood quality. And truth is the sonship. Jesus represented the sonship. So, love is nurturing it, and what happens when you nurture something? You bring it to fulfillment. You bring it to completion. You are successful. So, in short, that's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. One of the greatest references on learning what the seven terms mean of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is the founder of the Institute, Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright. She wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed on the human calendar. She was about 100 years old when she wrote it. Her finest work, sharp as a tack. There are seven chapters in there that are devoted solely to the seven synonymous terms. And if you study those continuously, you will get a better understanding of exactly what those terms mean. It's recommended that one that is serious about Christian Science, that they study the textbook from beginning to end continuously. In other words, they do it once, and when they're done, they start right out over and do it. They start right at the beginning and do it again. It's recommended by the one recording this MP3 that you start fresh and don't even look at any notes that you had before. And that opens up the door to an absolute fresh outlook. In fact, it's also recommended, unless you're very unusual, that you record as you study. And you'd be surprised how much one can learn by actually recording it. And you can make your notes as you're recording it. Rewrite the textbook in your own words. When you read a sentence or a paragraph, or you read a paragraph title, contemplate on what that means. Recording. You'd be surprised how that can help one advance in their spiritual understanding of the most important book that has ever been written, along with the Bible. And that's Science and Health, The Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Keeping all these things in mind, let's think about control. What? What is control? We have to be thinking about what is the motive for control. What does control mean to you? It could be totally different than what it means to me or anyone else. In fact, you're going to have a unique idea on what control is. Everyone is going to have their own unique idea on what control is. Any two people could look at the same object, whether it's an individual, whether it's an event, whether it's viewing up in the sky, whether it's listening to a concert, whatever it is, any two people are going to have somewhat different view of what it is that they're viewing. What's important to you is what your view is and relating it to what you think is the highest possible idea that is being presented to you with that word or that sentence or that paragraph. Mary Baker Eddy says on page 442, to be a law unto yourself. That is the last statement that she makes at the end of the chapter on Christian Science Practice. America was founded on individual liberty. And the reason was that the founders, we call them the founding fathers, came from Europe where there was a king or a queen that was controlling everyone. There was not the personal liberty that they all desired. So they came to this country, America, the country where Mary Baker Eddy discovered, founded, and was a leader of Christian Science. They went to America so that they could establish a country where individual freedom could be exercised. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Our country was built on individual freedom. But what does Mary Baker Eddy say? Be a law unto yourself. Now, that particular statement is referring to malpractice. And what is malpractice? It is bad practice. Mal means bad. It is practicing anything except what the Christ consciousness dictates. And of course, that's perfection. That's divine. That's incorporeal, supreme, and infinite. That is what control is supposed to be. It is supposed to be controlling our own activities, our own thought, speech, and action. If we control our own thought, speech, and action, we don't have to be concerned about the government. Doesn't matter how evil they may be, or any organization, or anything else. If we practice self-control, following God, following the Christ consciousness, the God consciousness, following the true meaning of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then we are going to have a light that is shining like a lighthouse. There's not going to be any shipwrecks. And if we do that, our light will be reflected out into the atmosphere of thought and will affect everyone that is receptive. And if each one does that, how could there be a war? A war is basically greed. Somebody wants something that belongs to someone else. That's what war is all about. Mary Baker Eddy was a strict adherent in her thought to the Monroe Doctrine, which means that you don't go into another country and try to do something that is controlling them, trying to change their government, trying to take over their government, trying to steal their raw materials or their natural resources, their gold, their oil, or iron ore, or anything else. Keep your hands in your own pockets and be a law to yourself. And if everybody did that on planet Earth, we would be in heaven. We can be in heaven ourselves in our own consciousness, but we have to make sure we reflect it out. We have to treat everyone the way we want to be treated. Jesus said, When they asked him, what are the greatest commandments of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And he said, the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't even take a breath. He automatically said the second one. I believe the way it went is they asked him, what is the greatest commandment of all? And so he said the first one, and then he said, the second one is like unto it. Well, what is it if we make God our real God? Can we step on the toes of our neighbor? God is impersonal. God is qualities. God is not partial. God is a law. A law is not partial. A law is for omnipresence and for everyone. It's everywhere and it's for everyone. No exceptions. If you're the manager of a company or the owner of a company, the law affects you exactly like it does the janitor. If you have a building and you have a janitor, the lowest level individual in a company has the same rights as the one that is the owner. What is a big company? A big company is a group of individuals. A company is individuals, hopefully, working in unity. That's all it is. If you want to go visit a big company and do business with them, you only have to be concerned with one individual. You're going to be dealing with one individual. Don't look at a big company as, wow, how am I going to do anything with this mammoth company? You're only going to deal with one individual. And what you're really dealing with is God. Let God take care of the details. God helps those who help themselves. If you know your business, God will help you. If you're looking for a miracle, you're wasting your time. God doesn't deal in miracles. God deals in facts. Facts. Picknell Young was one of the very successful students of Christian Science and a good healer. And he had people come to him all the time asking for assistance in helping their business be successful. He said the biggest problem he had was people didn't know their business. He sent them away. He said, go learn your business. Become an expert in your business on a human level. Mary Baker Eddy said, the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. He had to practice love on a human level, and that enabled him to reach the divine level. The same with everybody. If we don't know our business on a human level, we're never going to be able to get to the divine, because the divine means it's perfection. We have to be perfect in everything we do on a human level. Then we can get into the divine. Then we can step onto the boat that leaves the shore of materialism and goes out into the infinity of God. So, what is control? Control is controlling our own consciousness. The Christ consciousness. Adopt the Christ consciousness. Open that door. One of the most famous paintings of Jesus is him knocking at a door. Open the door. Let the Christ consciousness come in. Follow his example. Mary Baker Eddy said he was the greatest man that ever trod the globe. That should be our image. She points out the importance of us molding our image, molding our model. If we start with Christ Jesus, boy, we can't go any better than that, because he showed us the way. Okay, the second term that came to me was who. Who is control? Well, there's only one. And that's obviously the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, light, truth, and love. That's the who. Okay, how about the when? The when? It better be every moment. What is a moment? A moment is the smallest measurement of time. So that's when we're going to exercise the control of our thought, speech, and action. And that's going to be based on our motive, which is truth. And our motive better be pure. Because if it's not, we're going down the path of error instead of truth. We're going to follow the devil instead of the angel. Why? Why are we going to do it? Why are we going to have control? Because that's the shortest path to success. That's the only path that gets us down the road of infinite progression. Mary Baker Eddy says infinite progression is concrete being. Do we want to have a being that is based on mush or sand that's on the beach that can wash away? You can build a beautiful, or children can build a beautiful sand castle. One wave would wipe it out. Well, that's what happens if we build on a beach with matter. A beach, think of that as being the threshold of our thought. Do we want to build on matter, or do we want it to be permanent? Remember the race between the turtle and the hare, the rabbit. The turtle takes off, walks slowly, but consistent. Never slows down, never stops. He has a purpose, and that's to get to the end. And the rabbit takes off fast, but he gets tired. So he stops, lays along the side of the road, and rests. Meantime, the turtle walks right on by to the finish line. We want to be like the turtle. Mary Baker Eddy has used the quote from the Bible that says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Well, precept means the facts. We got to build the facts one at a time. Line upon line, it's like we must have a diameter that is modeling itself out after the infinite. Don't just go in one direction from point A to point B. We have to have a perspective of everything that influences what we're doing. Think about vertical integration. Vertical integration in a business means that you are involved in creating the raw material, you create it into a product. Many raw materials to create in a product. You market it. In other words, it has to get out in the public where it's used. And you service it. In other words, it's the complete thing. From beginning to end, from the raw material to the finished product to servicing the customer. The whole thing, vertical integration. You go from the bottom up to the top. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to go from the beginning, which is mind, and all the way to love, which is the fulfillment. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We have to get to the top. Now, the four operators, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, the Word means learning what God is, the facts. What are the facts? On a human level, what are the facts about the situation we're dealing with, whether we're building a business or having a meeting or negotiating a purchase or a sale of something, whatever. That's the facts. That's the Word. Then what do? Well, you, no matter what comes your way, in other words, no matter what obstacle tries to prevent you from getting to the next step, you have to make sure you translate it to the spiritual value. Don't just accept it and say, oh, I've come up against a concrete wall. I can't go any further. What am I going to do? Well, you should do the same thing in every instance. You should go to God first. Don't wait till you're exhausted and then say, well, there's nothing else to do. I guess I'll go to God. see if God can help me in some way. Well, God's impersonal. The laws are there. The rules are there. The foundation is there. It's omnipresent. Are we utilizing those? Are we utilizing? Are we using intelligence? Are we using creative ability? Are we telling ourselves that there is no limitation to capacity or capability or functionality or facility? Nothing can dilute or divert or deflect or stop or reverse the progress. I am on the path of infinite progression. I'm working for concrete being, and nothing is going to interfere with my thought about that. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to be my own law. I'm going to have the discipline to do the right thing all the way along. And I'm not going to worry about getting done in 1 minute. I'm going to take it a step at a time, like the turtle. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy emphasizes the importance of not trying to do something all at once. She says you have to do it a step at a time. Well, how about the where, the why? Well, the why is it's the only way. You have two choices, a spiritual or a material basis. So that's why you want to have the control and go along spiritual lines. How about where? Everywhere. God is omnipresent. God's rules and laws, qualities are omnipresent. So no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what the circumstances are that we're facing, we have to follow and stay focused on spirit, not matter, on success, not failure, on progress, not retardation or regression. We don't take any steps back. We have to hold firm until we're ready to go forward to the next step. We don't want to take any steps back. Don't accept regression. Don't accept disappointment. Don't do any backstepping or backsliding. Don't be carrying around a load of failures. Think only about success. Only about success. And don't get married to anything. Dale Carnegie, one of the greatest trainers of success, he said, don't get so firm in your thought that you're not going to be able to change your mind, because tomorrow you may get new enlightenment and think the opposite of what you did yesterday. Don't argue with someone. Maybe the other one is right. Be humble. Be humble. If you're not humble, you're not open to finding out the truth. You're letting individual, personal will be your guide instead of God. And don't forget about the daily quotes in the Bible or in the manual that Mary Baker Eddy recommends. In fact, better than that, she required her household to read 39 topics every day. Every day, 39 topics. And we have those available on the website. And boy, it's such a beautiful way they go from one paragraph to another, one topic to another. It's like if you didn't read the one prior, you're really missing out. Because the one that you're reading, if you decide to jump in the middle of it and start reading, the one you're reading depends on understanding the one prior. One of the daily recommended readings of the items in the manual is under the title of Rules for Motives and Acts. And it starts right out, neither animosity nor mere personal attachment should impel the motives or acts of the members of the Mother Church. Now, what is a church? She defines church in the glossary. That institution which affords proof of its utility. It's not a bureaucratic structure of one person or one board of directors controlling all of the branch churches around the world. Mary Baker Eddy said that that is the manual of the mother church. And she said every branch church must have their own rules, their own manual. Everyone, every church has to have their own set of rules to operate that church. And they are not permitted to use the one from the mother church, because the mother church is for the people in Boston that live there. And that's their branch church. There's a First Church of First Church of Christ Signers in Boston, and a second and a third and so forth, as in most major cities. Well, there used to be many of them, but over the years they've gone down to be almost nothing, because they became a bureaucracy trying to control everyone else, which is a very materialistic viewpoint, and it's not what she defined as a church. So we should review those 39 topics every day. We have it both in audio on MP3 and also in text. If we want to make consistent progress, and we're not doing that, we are fooling ourselves. We're getting off the path of truth. When we feel we've covered everything that we need to cover in the prayer treatment, we need to seal it. That means that we must think about words and qualities like this. And everyone needs to do their own unfoldment on sealing it. But you could say something like, truth is effective. And the truth in this prayer treatment cannot be interfered with, cannot be diluted, cannot be diverted, can't be stopped, can't be reversed. God is all in all source, all manifestation. Can't be any interruption of the truth and the unfoldment of truth. I am on the path of infinite progression that leads me to concrete being. This prayer treatment is sealed, and nothing can interfere with the effectiveness of it. It is effective from beginning to end. Amen.